So the years have passed, and we've moved on from there. And we're going, there's a bit of a map here, look, there we are. Let's put that up here, shall we? There's the Mediterranean Sea, there's Damascus, and Jerusalem down here somewhere. And we're heading, aren't we, eventually for Philippi. It is in the country of Greece today. But before we get there, we're just going to dwell a moment on this woman here and introduce her right now. This is Lydia. And there she is. There's her name. Don't know what she looked like, but there we are. There is some dear soul from the Metropolitan Tabernacle who is doubling up there as Lydia. So, and she is a businesswoman, a rich businesswoman, believes, or we know she believes, that's where we get to, don't we, with this. A rich businesswoman, a seller of clothing that has been dyed purple. Well, I'm looking around here, there's probably quite a bit of purple. I'm a bit colourblind, so I'm not the best judge of these things. But this was a sign of great wealth, to have something purple. Because to get purple, to get that colour, you had to get, I understand, these sort of seashelly kind of creatures, and you had to crush them, and that would produce the purple dye, which you could then dye clothes purple with, and it was expensive. So only the rich and the famous, as it were, could afford these things and could afford to wear them. So we would reckon she made a fair bit of money doing that. Now, originally, she wasn't from Philippi. She was sort of positioned there. She obviously got a home there and everything else. But she came from this city, Thyatira, which isn't marked on the map here, but which is basically about there. So that's in Turkey. Okay, there's Turkey. So Thyatira is there. For those of us who like to see ruins, I gather that this is Thyatira and some of the ruins there of that particular city, ancient city. And there are some of its old, well, I guess they're temples and things, such things as that, the false worship. But that's what it looks like a bit today. So you've got some hills around there. But she's a businesswoman. And so she is travelling around. And she's travelled from Thyatira. Obviously, you've got a place here in Philippi where she's resident as well. And she has her home there and a household there. She's married there and got a family there and other people. Perhaps she's able to afford to pay for servants. They can be doing all the hard work and the heavy lifting for her. Well, what she would do there in Philippi, along with other women, would be to go to the river. And they would pray. They would pray. So here we are, we can put Philippi up. And we've also got some pictures of Philippi as it looks today. Again, more ruins there. It's a bit fade that one, but anyway, you'll get the idea. There's an amphitheatre there of kinds. So that would have been looking at its best then in that era when she was living there in Philippi and when she would go with these other women folk to the river to pray. And so this is the title of what we're doing today. A prayer answered. A prayer answered. Now, what was on her heart? Well, we don't know for sure, do we there? But she was obviously serious enough about things to go and to pray. Not that she was a Jewish woman by background. She wasn't. She was a Gentile woman. And so really, she hadn't been brought up in this. She hadn't had, as it were, learnt the things there in the Old Testament, the Ten Commandments or whatever, from her mother's knee. No, she'd sort of come into this, however she did, and was interested enough to spend her Sabbath days going down to this river in Philippi with the other women, perhaps most of whom were from a Jewish background, and to pray. I wonder what she was praying. I wonder what she had on her heart to unburden herself of. That's prayer, isn't it? We unburden ourselves. We have a weight and we lift it up to God and we pray to him. Well, putting it in rather modern idiom, but anyway, perhaps it's something along these lines. There she is. She's a businesswoman, got a very busy life, got a household there and servants. But maybe she had worked out this, that there was more to life than this. There was more to life than this. There was something more. And she began to identify that that something more lay within the truth that she was now a bit acquainted with, that the Jewish people had, and their worship of God, and their history. Perhaps she knew something about that, how God had been with these people and done incredible things with them. All right, though now perhaps their fortunes were not so strong, and here they are, they haven't got a synagogue to go to, there don't appear to be many men around. These women were going and meeting there at the river, however they were conducting themselves, but they were praying. They were praying. And Lydia was part of that, perhaps praying. Praying to understand more about this God that she learnt something about now, and the history of these people that she was kind of rubbing shoulders with, how God had done great things for them and rescued them when they were slaves in Egypt and brought them through the Red Sea and brought them into the promised land against all the odds, defeated great enemies. They had great kings who had done incredible things. And that this nation and its God, there was a future. There was something there that she couldn't find anywhere else. All these temples and whatever they were worshipping there. No, none of that came anywhere near to what she was searching for. She knew that's not there. The future isn't there. That's not what I'm looking for there. This is where it is, or at least somewhere in here. Because there was still much that she didn't understand. Still a lot of things she didn't understand. And there she is, praying as best she could, worshipping God as best she could understand how, showing reverence and honouring him and aware perhaps of his smallness and his greatness. There's still something missing. And she is praying. Well, one day, Paul and his friends, in their travelling and in their preaching, are finding loads and loads of closed doors. They're in this area here, okay? They're travelling around here. And some of the different provinces, right? Rome ruled the whole thing and it divided up all these places and gave them particular names. Well, Paul and his friends were preaching there and they were finding difficulty. They were trying to go into parts of Asia and Bithynia, and God was saying no. However he caused that to be clear to them, they were getting the message very clearly. God was saying, not here, not preaching here, you're not to go into that area there. So one night, Paul had a vision, and he saw a man of Macedonia, that's over where Philippi is, pleading with him, come over to us. Come over to us. Well, then he woke in the morning, and when he spoke to his friends there, like Luke and others who had been met in Troas, they concluded, God is calling us to go from here to cross over, well, into Europe. There we are. We really are now crossing over. The gospel has not reached here yet. Been through here and been round here, but not here. Now, a new door is opening up. They reckon this man of Macedonia saying, come over to us. Come over to us. Help us. We need help. Then we must go. So they got on their boats, and away they went and crossed some of these towns. We heard of Neapolis, which was a big town round there, and they found their way to Philippi. And somehow they knew that if they went down to the river, they would find people to speak to. And they were right, because they found Lydia and some of her friends. Isn't that interesting? That man of Macedonia, a prayer answered. Paul didn't know that over here that there was this group of women who would come, worship God and pray, that that's what they meant to do there. He didn't know about them at all at that point. He was busy trying to preach the gospel here. And then one night, there's that vision of a man of Macedonia from over here saying, come over to us and help us. And so they found their way to Philippi. And there was Lydia. And this, perhaps she didn't realize it straight away, was actually the answer to her prayer. This was going to be the missing part of everything that she had. Perhaps you've got a missing part, if you like, that you Oh, you've got something of this. You've grasped something of the reality of God, that he's glorious and holy, wise and all-powerful. You've come some way, but there's a piece that is missing. Well, this was the moment that God had appointed for Lydia. This is the piece that was missing. And she was listening carefully to him. Isn't it beautiful what the Bible tells us? The Lord opened her heart to hear. She, who had been searching perhaps, knew there was more than anything of the temples around here could offer her, realizing there was something bound up with this God of Israel and how he treated the people there, but not yet seen it for all that it is. Then she saw, because she heard, didn't she, about the person who brings it all together, Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ. Paul would have been preaching Jesus Christ and how he's the one who brings all the hope and all the promise of the Old Testament, the Old Covenant, to fulfillment. That he is the one that deals with the problem that we have, which is our own worst enemy, and that is sin. Lydia had sin, and she was perhaps quite aware of that and wondering how she could be relieved of that and find her conscience relieved and find herself in a happier state. But it wouldn't come. Couldn't, just something was missing. But not anymore, because she was hearing from Paul's lips. Paul, who had seen this vision, these women praying here, and then suddenly this vision appearing to Paul when he's over here. And there they are, they made their journey to Philippi, and they have brought the message that is just what Lydia and her friends perhaps were looking for. That Jesus Christ forgives sin. That he is God's appointed son. That he is the Messiah. He was the one that was promised long ago, who would come and bring deliverance and bring hope for sinners and show them that their sins can be atoned for because he died upon the cross for them, and that he rose again from the dead and he's alive forevermore, and he can draw us to himself, and he will watch over us, and he will keep us for time and for eternity. Her heart was open to that, and she believed. And she then invites them, doesn't she, to come and stay with her. If you find that I'm faithful, if you think I'm faithful to God, then please come and stay with me. And she persuaded them. She was baptized, wasn't she? There we are, that's what you do. You follow through, you're baptized, the Lord's opened your heart. You've seen the glory of Jesus Christ. You've been moved to him. That's incredible, isn't he? Absolutely astonishing. God's own son giving his life for sinners like us, that we could be taken finally to the glory of heaven. There's nothing like this in the whole world. It's extraordinary. She was to hearing this. And so she was then baptized, because that's what you then do. And now Paul and his friends are staying with her at the house. Oh, they've been persuaded, all right. She's shown that she's faithful. There's a genuineness. There's something coming through with her. They can see in her that this was just what she was looking for. This was what she had been waiting for. And now her time had come. God had arranged it for her. And he opened her heart. See, it needs the Holy Spirit, doesn't it? It needs the Holy Spirit. Otherwise, we're still fumbling a bit in the dark, and it doesn't really quite move us or stir us, and we still feel, or we hear about Jesus Christ, but it's still somewhere a bit vague and a bit hazy to us. That's the work of the Holy Spirit. So if it's not happened to you, if God has not opened your heart yet, ask him. Seek him. Do you not think that he is generous and kind? Look what he did to Lydia. He brought Paul from across the continent there, across the sea on a boat, shut doors here, there and everywhere that he couldn't go there because he's meant to be here. And there he comes and he brings the message of life. That's the work of the Spirit, isn't it? That's the work of the Holy Spirit. And there, him having been brought, God was working in her that the message and the hearer come together, and the beautiful work of the Holy Spirit is fulfilled and accomplished. So, have you had a burden lifted? Have you felt your sins taken away? Have you known that precious blood of Jesus Christ has atoned for your sin? that actually now you're in fellowship with him, and he is your God, and he is your Lord, and he is the one that will be your guide, and he will keep you and watch over you. Lydia did. Is that your experience yet? Well, may God bless each of you, and may you find it to be so, and may you, well, indeed, be baptized. That's the next step here, isn't it? Be baptized. That's the next part of all of this. So a prayer answered. Are you praying for your soul? Because that's a good prayer to pray. Who knows how, just like Paul, that message will come to you one day, not even today, and move your soul to trust in the Lord with all your heart. Well, we'll sing, shall we? Will your anchor hold in the storms of life? 489.